Well, good morning as well, and happy Mother's Day to all those mothers. And thank you, Pastor Mark, for praying for the moms and praying for those who have a difficult time today on Mother's Day. It brings up different emotions, both highs and lows for many of us who are watching this morning because of this Mother's Day. So we're going to continue in our series, I Am, looking at what Jesus has to say about himself. And let me just pray for us before we get into God's word. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to us individually as we're watching and corporately as a church family called Trinity, and those who are listening who are spiritually inquisitive. Guide us now to get to know who Jesus is. In Christ's name, amen. Well, have you ever seen a little kid wandering around and that kid's got his blankie or his little stuffed animal? I have to confess, when I was a little kid, I had a little Humpty Dumpty doll that I kind of even wore out because that was my safeguard. When I had that Humpty Dumpty doll, it brought comfort and security to me. Maybe you as a parent, you have a child who's got that special blankie or that special doll or stuffed animal that brings safety and security and comfort into their own lives. And then if you've ever seen a kid lose that, or if you've been a parent who's lost that, oh man, everything just goes crazy. One of my friends, they had the pacifier, and they were trying to get rid of the pacifier, or the binky, if you want to say, as the comfort and security for their child. So they devised this really cool plan to put that pacifier and tie it to some balloons and say goodbye to the pacifier. But what happened as they gathered as a family out in the front lawn and they tied balloons to the pacifier, that balloon lifted up and that balloon got stuck in a tree with the pacifier right in front of the little girl's window that she slept in. So now that little thing that was that comfort and security was just hanging there outside of her grasp. You know, if we lose the thing that brings comfort and security, we feel helpless. And many times right now, we feel helpless because of what's going on around us. Physically, with the COVID virus, economically, we feel helpless. And when Jesus walked the earth, he came into a situation where he saw people that were helpless and harassed. It says in this passage in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them. It literally means his gut wrenched. He had compassion on the people that he saw. And why did he have compassion? Because he saw them and they were helpless and harassed. They were confused and helpless. Why were they confused and helpless? Because they had no leader. They had no purpose or direction and somebody saying, here's the perfect north and the path you should walk. And Jesus says this, like sheep without a shepherd. You see, they were confused and helpless because they didn't have a shepherd. They didn't have a leader. They didn't have someone who was guiding them and protecting them, giving them comfort and security in their lives. And isn't it wonderful that the God of the universe became one of us? And when Jesus walked amongst us as humanity, he looked at us and he says, I see the confusion. I see your helplessness. And the reason is because you were like sheep without a shepherd. And the good news this morning is that Jesus didn't just recognize that. He came to rescue us from that. Because the passage that we're looking at this morning in John chapter 10, it declares this. Jesus saying, I came that they might have life and have life abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Jesus says they were helpless and harassed because they didn't have a shepherd. And Jesus now says, I'm the good shepherd. And not only am I the good shepherd, I've come that you might have life with intention and in purpose. I came that you might have the life that you were designed to live when God created you in the Garden of Eden. And so this morning, as we dive into this text of Jesus declaring that he is the good shepherd, let me just ask you a question. What do you think of a shepherd and sheep? Maybe you think of just the green paths of Ireland, and you're like, man, if I was a shepherd, that would just be so easy. I just send them out, and they just lay in the green paths and eat all they want. That's a pretty easy job. But the reality is, all throughout the Bible, God talks about himself as a shepherd. And if we would look at what shepherds went through and what they still go through in Israel, we would see that the fields that they shepherd in are like this. This is a picture of Israel, of where shepherd and where David would have shepherded his sheep. It is a dangerous place. It is a place with wadis that you see in a valley that could flood at any moment, that has drought, that has dangerous predators like lions and foxes that could come kill and destroy the sheep. So the shepherd's job was intense. It was personable. It was purposeful. The shepherd knew the sheep and cared for them greatly. And so the imagery all throughout the scriptures that God describes himself as a shepherd. And it talks about in the book of Isaiah that there will be a shepherd who will come and guide his people. And then Jesus declares in John chapter 10 that we saw, I am the good shepherd. And so as we dive in this morning at this truth of Jesus declaring who he is as the good shepherd, I want to kind of unpack this big idea that the abundant life is found in allowing Jesus to be our good shepherd. Life to the fullest is found when we allow Jesus to be our guide, to be our provider, to be our comfort, to be our security, and to get in line behind him as our good shepherd who laid down his life for us. So we want to unpack this reality that the abundant life that we're all searching for, the life to the fullest, is found in allowing and coming behind Jesus as the good shepherd. So with that big idea, we want to answer this question this morning. How is Jesus our good shepherd? How is he? What characteristics does a shepherd have? What things from this passage in John chapter 10 can we glean, not just to know, but to live from because of who Jesus declares he is? So the first answer to this question is we don't have to search for life anywhere else because Jesus gives us the abundant life. We're all searching for life. If you go back to the illustration I began with, kids, we begin with that stuffed animal or that blanket to give us significance and security. And if that's taken away, man, our significance and security are taken out the window, and parents will turn the house upside down just to find the blanket or to find the stuffed animal so it brings back security and significance to the child. But in reality, in our own lives, we are searching for life in so many different places, searching for fulfillment and purpose, whether it's our job, whether it's our identity of looking for a husband or wife, whether it's the university or sporting thing that we are going after, we're searching for significance. We're searching for something that will satisfy our lives. And we've seen from this passage that we don't have to search anymore. Look at this passage where Jesus says, I came. Why did he come? I've come that you may have life, this fullness of life, and have it abundantly. Not just a small reality of life, but have life that has purpose and meaning the way it was designed. He's saying, I'm offering you this gift. Are you exhausted for trying to find life in certain things, trying to find your significance in different places? Where are you seeking and searching out the purpose and meaning of life, and it just comes up empty? Maybe like sand through your hands, it just never fulfills. Friends, Jesus as our good shepherd, he's come that we might have life and life to the fullest and abundant. We are freed. We don't have to search for life anymore. If he is our good shepherd, he is giving us the gift of abundant life. But how do we get that gift? Is it just out there somewhere? How does Jesus enable us and give us this free gift of life? Well, the reality is significantly in this passage, we see that we get life, the abundant life, because Jesus laid down his life. We get access to this abundant, full life that has purpose and meaning, the way life was designed to be lived, because Jesus laid down his life. We see over and over in this passage in John chapter 10, it says, the good shepherd, that he lays down his life for the sheep. In the one passage I want to look at from this passage, it says this: for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down my own accordingly. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. What Jesus specifically is talking about here is that he knows, as the good shepherd, he came to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we deserve. Meaning, when Jesus went to the cross, it was no accident. It wasn't that he was a victim. It was because he was the victor over Satan, sin, death, and our own flesh. He had authority to take it, to lay it down, and to pick it up. So be reassured, friends, that as Jesus is the good shepherd and the slaughtered lamb, he is not a victim, but he is a victor for us, that he laid down his life for us. So going back to this point, we get life. We get this abundant life because he laid down his life. The Bible talks about he substituted our life. Theologians call it the great exchange. That as the good shepherd, he laid down his life for us. Think about it. Think about what Secret Service men and women do for the president. Their job is to take a bullet for the president. Their job is to lay down their life to save a life. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Do you trust that Jesus laid down his life for us? We love to watch movies of Secret Service people who lay out their life and save the president, and we celebrate them as the hero. But ultimately, Jesus is our hero as the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Do you trust that he paid it all, and to all to him we owe? As the good shepherd, he laid down his life for us so that we might live through him. And he conquered the grave by being raised again. How is Jesus our good shepherd? He laid down his life for us so that we might truly live. Three, we see that we have an intimate relationship with him because he knows us each by name. Not only is he a shepherd that gives us life and bought our life, but he intimately knows us. You know, hearing your name has significance. You know, I've traveled a little bit, and there's been times I've made connections in airports, and you're kind of walking through the airport, and you know, there's 1,000 strangers around you, and there's hundreds of strangers on the airplane. But there's been a few moments that I'm walking through the airport and I hear my name. Hey, Kevin! Hey, Kevin! And I realize they're saying my name personally to me. It's because I see a friend from high school or from college or from another time, another pastor. And when I hear that name, it's significant. Just like when you hear your name, when someone hasn't seen you in a while, they say your name, it's personable. They know your story. They know your past, the good, the bad, the ugly. Hearing your name and being known by somebody by your name has intimacy. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, as your good shepherd, knows your name, which means he knows your story, the good and the bad. And he says, I still love you. I still move toward you. Look at this verse. It says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. You know, when a shepherd cares for a sheep, he knows them individually. And the good shepherd, Jesus, knows your name. How intimate is that? That the God of the universe, who holds all the stars in place and named the stars, who holds everything together, who is holding every cell in your body and the universe together, and designed it all, knows you by name. That's how intimate the God of the universe is when he became one of us in the form of Jesus Christ. And he sits on a throne and he knows you by name. And if you've put your trust in him, it actually says your name is written in the book of life. You have an intimate relationship because he knows you by name. Another passage says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. He knows you. But how intimate does he know you? Like, I know who LeBron James is. He has no idea who I am. But what does it mean that I really know LeBron James? I know he was born in Akron. He played basketball at high school in Akron. He played for the Cavs. He left us in Cleveland to play in Miami, came back to Cleveland, won a championship, abandoned us again, went to the Lakers and trying to win a championship. I know about him. But when somebody says, how do you know your wife? That's intimate. We met in college. We dated. We got married, we have four children, we've gone through highs and lows, we've experienced life together. The knowing LeBron James compared to knowing my wife is significantly different. So when Jesus says, I know you, and I know you by name, how significant is that? How deep is it? Well, let's look at this, underline. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus is saying, I know you intimately just as I know my Father and my Father knows me. Do you know how intimate that is? For all of eternity, God has existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have had communion with one another. They've lived in community for all of eternity. And now God of the universe in Jesus Christ says, I know you as the Good Shepherd as intimately as I know my Father knows me. That shouldn't be scary. That should be amazing. Because when you're known by your name and somebody calls it out, it is endearing and loving. When you're able to have transparency with someone like your spouse or your parents, and to truly be known is to be free. And the Good Shepherd knows us intimately and cares for us by name. And he knows us by name. So going back to that point, he knows us by name and intimately knows us. And it moves on. So what does it mean that he lived this life for us and laid down his life and he knows us by name? Another thing is that we get to follow and be guided by Jesus, who leads us in the right direction. We're all following something. We're all having something direct our lives. If you would step back for a moment and pause in your own life to have stillness and solitude and process, really, what are you pursuing and what are you following? We're all following something, whether it's money, whether it's success, whether it's prestige, whether it's the height of our children's success, we're following something. We're being guided by something. And the reality is Jesus as the Good Shepherd wants us to follow him. Not only does he want us to follow him, but he wants to guide us. Not only does he want to guide us, but he wants to point us the right direction. Not only does he want to point us the right direction, he has walked that path already before us. You see, there's a significant difference between a cowboy and a shepherd. Now, a cowboy, if you've watched Western movies or you've watched movies or even been a cowboy is behind the herd, pushing the herd, making it go forward to the slaughterhouse. Well, a shepherd goes before the sheep. The shepherd scouts out the territory that's before. The shepherd is guiding the sheep towards green pastures. That's why we see in this passage, it says, the sheep hear my voice, and he calls his own by name. He leads them out. Not only is he leading him out, but then it says, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow, for they know his voice. The Good Shepherd is guiding and leading us. We see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus was a rabbi and teacher, and he was leading his disciples. You know, recently, just last weekend, my family went on a family hike, which has its highs and lows. And we went over to Red Wing to hike the bluffs. And we hiked all around the side of the bluffs there. And it's pretty steep. And you have to hold on to a yellow rope. And then we made our way up to the top, to the peak, and looked down on Red Wing. And then as we began to descend, there's kind of a switchback back and forth. Well, my two oldest were leading the way, and they saw that there was a path, not from the switchback, but cut through the hillside, which it was pretty steep. There's some dirt and there's some gravel, and you kind of slide forward if you don't keep your footing. And so my two oldest went before, and then behind me was one of my younger. And I realized he needed my help. He was a little timid. And what was the proper way to parent him was not to go behind him and say, "You can do it," because what would happen if he slid? He would just tumble forward. But as a dad who wanted to protect and to guide my son down the hillside, I went before him. I offered my hand to him. I was guiding him as he followed me down. I went before him. He listened to my voice mostly as a child. Not all the time, but he knew my voice. He trusted my voice. He trusted that I went before him. Man, I think this is just a little bit of a picture of Jesus as our good shepherd. We get to follow and be guided by him because he's our good shepherd. Psalm 23, which is a significant passage that most of us are familiar with, that actually talks about God, Jesus, as our shepherd, says this: "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake." Jesus, as a good shepherd, wants to lead us. And he wants us to lead us on paths of righteousness. And this imagery of paths of righteousness comes out of these paths that the sheep would actually walk on. If you look at the hillsides in Israel, out in the desert of Negev, where the sheep go and are led by the shepherd, there's these little paths on the hillside. And those are called paths of righteousness. They're narrow, but the shepherd guides them. The shepherd goes before them, and the shepherd wants to lead you. My question for us is, are we willing to be followed and to be guided by the good shepherd in every area of our life, in every nook and cranny? And do we recognize his voice and that he leads us in the right direction? He leads us in the right direction toward green pastures, a place that's just enough. Maybe you've gotten lost in the car or lost directions. And as a man, sometimes men have this arrogance and pride that I know the right directions, and it's humbling. It's humbling to pull out your phone and say, "Where am I supposed to go?" Back in the day, you couldn't pull out your phone, you had to get out a map. And if you couldn't figure out a map, what was most humbling as a man when you said, "I know the direction," was to drive up to a gas station and ask for help. It's humbling to be dependent. But he's a good shepherd. And we can be dependent upon him to guide us and to lead us towards where he's designed us to live. And that leads us to this next point. As the good shepherd, we have nothing to fear in the world, because he protects us. He's a good shepherd, and we see this imagery in this passage. It says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. There are treacherous things in the desert where David would have shepherded the sheep. There were foxes, there were lions, there were even bears back then that would want to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And we have an adversary as followers of Jesus, Satan, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and deceive. And the good shepherd says, "Would you follow me? I want to protect you. I want to guide you on paths." He even tells this story in this passage, and it says this picture. He says, "He who is the hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." Jesus is comparing himself, that he says, "I am the owner and guide of the sheep. I am not a hired hand." A hired hand doesn't have compassion for his sheep because they're not his own. He doesn't have ownership of them because they're not his own. He's just a hired hand. So if enemy comes or if difficulty comes, the hired hand is just going to run away. But Jesus says, "I'm not going to run away. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be intimately involved to protect you." That's why it says in this passage, if we can just go back here, it says this in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," even though I walk through the valley, man, and many of us right now feel like we're in a valley of life. We're sheltered in place, economy's hard, We feel victim. What's going on? And it says this, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are my rod and you are my staff. They comfort me. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Neither height nor depth nor angels or demons, nor anything in all creation can separate us from his love. When God was speaking to Joshua, entering into a difficult time and difficult season of leading Israel into the promised land, says, be strong and courageous because I will always be with you. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is with us. He is protecting us. We have nothing to fear in the world if we follow behind the Good Shepherd and allow him to give us this life. He protects us. Does that mean no harm will come our way? No, but he'll be with us through that. He protects us from the enemy. Jesus says, pray, lead me not in temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. I will be your good shepherd. I will guide you. He's a good shepherd. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And he who is in you is the good shepherd, the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. And so we see in this next part, going back here, we're having a little difficulty here with this. The point is this, that he's going to provide for us. He's going to provide for us over and over. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He is ever providing for us. We don't have to worry or grow anxious. Now, worry is something that psychologists are just like, it's just kind of in the moment. Like, how's this going to happen? I'm a little concerned about that. Worry is the idea of concern, where anxiety is the other end of the spectrum, that it's chronic. How is this going to happen? It captivates us. And over, Jesus says, don't grow worry. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Cast all your anxieties because I care for you. And in this passage out of Psalm 23, it says, I will provide for you. Don't grow anxious. Don't grow weary. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That doesn't mean he's going to provide every need. He provides for our needs, but he won't provide for all of our wants. Do you know this good shepherd? Do you lean not on your own understanding, but to trust that he will provide for your needs when you have them? And the last point is this. He is our good shepherd, and Jesus pursues all people, including us, and we get to join him in that. I mean, the good shepherd pursues his sheep. He brings them into the fold. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And he's the good shepherd who goes out and brings us back into the fold. He says this in chapter 10, verse 16 that we've been looking at. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also. What Jesus is talking about, he's speaking to a primarily Jewish audience. And he says, it's just not the Jews who I've come for. The Israelites, I've come for all people, both Jews and Gentiles. He says, I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. Excuse me, as my voice cracks. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is going and pursuing as the good shepherd, going after us individually for all people. Jesus is for all people, and he came for all people and says, will you follow me? I laid down my life for you, and would you follow me? Jesus actually tells the story in Luke chapter 15 of the parable of the lost sheep. He says, imagine a shepherd has 100 sheep and one goes astray. He will leave the 99 to go after the one. And when he finds the one, listen to this, what happens in this story. He says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. This one, he's gone after as the shepherd. And the story goes on, and Jesus applies it to us in this world. He says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I've come for you and for everyone. And so intimately, I will leave the righteous who think they're so good of themselves to pursue you as the lost sheep. Jesus came for all people, and he invites us into that journey. Will you join that journey of pursuing lost people in what Jesus has done by pursuing us? No one is ever too far gone. No one has ever strayed too far that the Good Shepherd will not come and move towards you and invite you to himself. And so it is, there is no lost sheep and too far that we shouldn't pursue and love, because what he's done to us by pursuing us as the Good Shepherd, he wants to do through us. So friends, Jesus came as the Good Shepherd. We looked at seven different aspects of how he is the Good Shepherd under this big idea is that the abundant life is found in allowing Jesus to be our Good Shepherd. And we see evidence in this passage of how he is a Good Shepherd and offers us that abundant life, that everything he provides for us in being the Good Shepherd. So as we end our service this morning, I just want you to sit still for a little bit. I know maybe there's distractions in your living room or wherever you're watching this right now. But to end the time of looking at God's word, there's going to be about a minute and a half now of some questions that are going to come up on your screen that I hope that as we looked at this scripture, that this gift of a minute and a half to 2 minutes would give you some time of self-reflection to reflect on what this passage has said and how we can live from this passage about who Jesus is. Let me pray for us, then allow you to have a time to process. And take this moment. Don't get a cup of coffee. Don't run to the bathroom. Don't tune out. Say, okay, even if I have to close your eyes, tune out the kids that are playing Legos on the floor right now. Say, okay, God, show me what you want from this passage by processing these questions. Let's pray. Lord, you're a good shepherd. Thank you that you came to give us life and life abundantly. Thank you that you came to lay down your life so we don't have to search anymore. Thank you that you provide for us so that we don't have to grow anxious or worry. Thank you that we don't have to search of what path to go on because you lead us on the right path. Thank you that you provide enough for us in all ways because you're the good shepherd. Thank you that even though we were lost sheep and running from you, you came to redeem and rescue us. And there's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents than 99 righteous people who just sit by the side. So may we give thanks to you because we were once lost, but now we're found because you found us. And Lord, may we walk in your path in all these ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. I hope that time of just self-reflection was special to you. Maybe you could write that what God spoke to you down on a piece of paper or underline something in your Bible that God spoke to you during that just few minutes to process what God would have. Because we want to look into the scriptures and be transformed by the scriptures in obedience. and give thanks that he's our good shepherd. So we're so glad that you've joined us online today. If you have any questions, you can fill out the Connect card that's in the feed. And if you want to continue to give joyfully and generously, you can also find that link as well. So I hope that you have a great day. Again, happy Mother's Day. Let me just pray to close us. Lord, thank you today that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray for those who are watching that are going through a difficult season, or those who they have difficult friends or family going through difficulties. Lord, bless them and keep them. Lord, cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious to them. Help us to be compassionate as you're compassionate towards us. Help us to listen as you listen towards us. And Lord, those who are rejoicing and giving thanks, may we rejoice with them. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.